Start with verse 1. We should have started with verse 5. But anyway, we're going to go back up to verse 1. And I'm going to chase a little rabbit today. But anyway, you remember, Ahab has just fought two battles and against the king of Syria and has won, or the Lord had won the battles for him. He was outnumbered immensely in both situations. The one time in the hills, which would have favored a smaller band, but the next time, and the most decisive, apparently, battle was when they were in the valley. So, anyway, Ahab was going back to his home, and in verse 1 of chapter 21, and it came to pass after these things, after these two battles, that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. Now, Samaria was the capital of the country of Israel. And, the nation of Israel, to my way of thinking, and apparently to the Lord's way of thinking, was still all 12 tribes. But anyway, Samaria was the capital there. And he also apparently had a castle or a throne located at Jezreel. And they weren't that far apart. From what I understand, it was less than 20 miles. But anyway, Naboth, the Jezreelite, in other words, that's where he was from. He was from the city of Jezreel, had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. So it was right up next to the palace. Verse 2, and Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. So he wants the vineyard. It's right next to his palace, and wants to be able to grow his herbs there. I don't know what kind of herbs he's talking about, but anyway, I'm assuming it was a garden that included herbs as well as other things. But he wanted this vineyard, and he said, "Well, I'll give you a better vineyard for it than what it is. Or if you don't want to do it that way, I'll give you how much you think it's worth." So he's going to buy it. He wants to have it one way or the other, where he can trade for it or whether he will buy it outright. In verse 3, and Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. So he said, I can't do that. This is the inheritance of my fathers. Now, we already read this last week, and I thought, well, I don't know what he's talking about exactly, so I better find out. So I did. I found out. So turn to Leviticus chapter 25. And this is dealing with the law, and the law is there's something in the law to cover everything, it seems like. You know, we think sometimes that the Bible doesn't tell us what to do about something, and if you look for it, it's there. If you look for it, it's there. Anyway. Leviticus chapter 25, verses 23 through 28. The land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine. In other words, this is God talking here. He said, the land is mine. Now, you've heard me mention many times that we don't own property. It's just placed in our care for a while. You know, like if we have a nice car or we have an airplane or whatever it is that we think we own, it's God's. And we just taking care of it for a while. And this is what he said, that land shall not be sold forever. For the land is mine. For you are strangers and sojourners with me. So you could take care of it. You can have it. You get the benefits of it. But it's mine. And we need to remember that. And one thing that I haven't said for a long time, we have offering. You know, we give back a portion of what God has prospered us. And it's all His. And He's only asking for a tenth and an offering. So He's providing for us rather well, I think. But anyway, in verse 24, in all the land of your possession, you shall grant a redemption for the land. Now, what's this talking about? Well, you have to read the next verse to understand that. If thy brother be waxen poor and has sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which is his brother sold. So, in other words, the land that you possess, the land that's in your care, there's set up a plan of redemption. Now, I'm not going to go through the whole thing. I'm going to go to verse 28, but I am going to explain it. Now, there was, we'll do the whole thing. The only time you could sell, and actually it's not selling like what we think. You know, when we sell something, it's gone. It belongs to somebody else. In Israel, when they sold a possession like this, the land, it was sold only because the person was poor or destitute, absolutely had to have the money. And if you look up here, it says that in verse 25, if thy brother be waxen poor and has sold away some of his possession, it was not legal for him to sell it all. He had to maintain a certain amount. I'm not sure exactly what that amount is, but it had to be enough to where he could provide for his family with it. So he was actually selling, we would call it more or less like renting, I think, rather than selling, because it comes back. Anyway, if thy brother be waxen poor and has sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. In other words, if you have a close friend or a brother or some family member that wants to redeem it for you, then that's fine. The guy that bought it, he doesn't have any say in the matter. He has to return it. In verse 26, and if a man have none to redeem it, and himself be able to, and he himself be able to redeem it, then let him count the years of the sale thereof, and restore the overplus unto the man to whom he sold it, that he may return unto his possession. In other words, there's going to be the man that bought it or rented it, whatever you want to call it, he got the use of the land for however many years. And this doesn't say just land here. It does up here in verse 23. But I think this pertained to other things as well. I'm not sure. I didn't study that deep in it. But we do know it had to do with land. And whatever sold it to the guy for. Then they figured out how many years he owned it and or got the use of it, and that was deducted from the amount that the seller had to pay back. So anyway, again, the guy that bought it, he didn't have any say in the matter. It has to be done. Now, it goes even farther than that in verse 28 here. But if he be not able to restore it to him, or in other words, he can't redeem it. He doesn't have the funds. He's not able to pay for it. Then that which is sold shall remain in the hand of him that hath bought it until the year of Jubilee. And in the Jubilee it shall go out, and he shall return unto his possession. In other words, now, I hope one of these days our pastor is going to do a study on Jubilees and other such things as this. There are Sabbaths and Jubilees, and there's all sorts of things like this. And what this means is that the man that bought it possesses it until the year of Jubilee, and then he must return it back to the person that sold it, or to his kin. Okay, now, that's as far as we're going to go on that. So go back into 1 Kings chapter 21. So Naboth couldn't legally sell, because once it went to the king, he knew it wasn't coming back. And, it was going directly against the law of God. In verse 4, and Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him, for he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. In other words, and we mentioned this last week, he was throwing a fit like a little kid. Anyway, he's laid down on his bed. Now, Gil seems to think it was a couch, not necessarily his bed that he slept in. It says bed. I'm going to go with bed. And he laid down and turned away his face. So he was looking at the wall. He wasn't looking out in, and he wouldn't eat any bread. So he was pouting, throwing a fit, and he didn't want to talk to anybody. He didn't want nobody bothering. So we get in today's portion of the lesson here, verse 5. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? So she's going to provoke him. She's going to make him talk. Now, she's pretty good at provoking Ahab. I mean, she does it quite often, as a matter of fact. And we're going to find other times. You remember, at one time, she as much as said that she was going to kill, Elijah. Almost forgot his name there for a minute, because of what he did to all the prophets of Baal. And, he scared him to death because he knew how powerful she was. But we got to remember, these people, these evil people, the ones that we think hold power over us and stuff like that, they only have the power that God allows them to have. The power is His. He only allows them to have what He allows them to have. Why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? What's the matter with you? Verse 6, and he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said to him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. So at least he was honest about it. You know, here he was a king, and he had all this stuff. And all of it was placed in his care, all this power, and all this glory, And that wasn't enough. He wanted a vineyard from this fellow. A vineyard that he legally couldn't give him. So verse 7, and Jezebel his wife said unto him, dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? In other words, aren't you king? You're the king. Arise and eat bread and let thine heart be merry. Now somebody put something on Facebook the other day. And it was put a word that goes with up. And some people put shut up, and I put blow up, and there were others there, and it was pretty good. But this one is arise, eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. And she was basically telling him to get up, eat up, and cheer up. So if you want to go back to Facebook and do that, then I just helped you out a little bit. And then she goes on and goes farther, and she says, I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. I'm going to do it. I mean, she just asked him, aren't you the king? Dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Get up, eat up, cheer up. I'll get you what you want. And it's not bad, necessarily, to get somebody what they want. But you have to go about it in the right way. And you need to determine, first of all, if they really, you know, if it's really for their benefit. You know, do they need to have this? And in this essence, the definite answer was no. But Jezebel, she says, I'll get it for you. So how does she go about doing it? You got to remember, Jezebel was an evil woman. I mean, Ahab was evil, but I think she was even more evil. She was the evil behind the evil. So what she did, in verse 8, she wrote letters to in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his city, dwelling with Naboth, or Jezreel. That's where she sent the letters to. And these elders and nobles, it's in other words, them would be the judges. The council, and I was looking up what I could find out about the Sanhedrin. You know, that was the high council. That was the highest court in the land. Well, come to find out, there's two Sanhedrins. There's a Sanhedrin that has, I think it's 71 judges, and then there's a Sanhedrin, and I can't remember. I remember even less about it, but I think it was 23. But anyway, these people were the judges. And she sent these letters with the instructions supposedly from Ahab and sealed them with his seal to kind of prove that they were from him. Verse 9, and she wrote in the letter saying, proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. Now, when they proclaimed a fast, that generally meant something terrible, something awful had happened or was about to happen. And she proclaimed a fast, something bad's happening. Set Naboth on high among the people. In other words, set him out where everybody can see. And then it goes on and set, and in verse 10, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. So this is all just to get this vineyard. And I don't know. It was done, well, you plan on this. If you think back, you remember, you think, well, I couldn't do anything like that. You remember what the Bible says about David? David was a man after the Lord's own heart. And he had a man killed that he could take his wife. We don't know what we're capable of doing. Without the restraining hand of God on our lives, we could do anything just as bad as anybody else. So we don't want to get all puffed up, but this woman, I mean, you know, she tells him, get two false witnesses and sons of Belial. In other words, these are going to be evil men. And they're going to bear witness against him, saying, now, just blaspheme God and the king. So they're even involving God in this plot, and the king. Now, I did read another place where when somebody did something and was put to death, then their property went to the heirs unless it was something against the king. If it was treason or something like that against the king, then the king got whatever his possessions were. So she worked it out where it even sounded legal. It was a lie. All of it was a lie. But she worked it out. And evil people, the devil knows the Bible. He knows it better than you do. So, don't think that he won't have an answer. But we need to have an answer too. We need to have it, thus saith the Lord. And he's going to try to misuse the Bible, and we need to be able to answer him back. But then after you've had this kangaroo court and carry him out and stone him that he may die. Now, these were the letters that went to the elders. These are the ones, the judges. This was the instructions to them. So they had to know already that this was a farce. It was a fake. Verse 11, and the men of his city, even the elders and the nobles who were inhabitants of his city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them. So they did just exactly what she said. Now, I believe that they knew that this was from Jezebel, and not from Ahab. And there's a reason I believe that. But anyway, we'll go ahead and go through with the trial here. In verse 12, and they proclaimed a fast. In other words, something terrible is going to happen. We have to have a fast. And set Naboth on high among the people. They put him out there where everyone could see him. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him, and the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones, that he died. So they did everything that Jezebel said. Now, supposedly, you know, they got the letters, and supposedly they were to think that this came from Ahab. I mean, it had his seal on it. And apparently she used his name. If you read back in verse 8, she used his name and used his seal to prove it was from him. But the reason I think that they knew this was from Jezebel is the next verse, 14. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. They knew where the orders came from. And they reported back to their commander-in-chief, Jezebel. Verse 15, and it came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So, here she is giving the king orders. Get up. Go get that vineyard that was Naboth's. So she's the king, basically, in this. She's the one that is usurping authority over the king. They go get the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive, but dead. Remember, she said, I'll get it for you. And she did. Verse 16, and it came to pass when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, to take possession of it. He didn't care. He didn't care how he got it. Now, it's nice to have things. But how you go about getting them, a lot of times is just as, if not more important than what you get. You have to do things in the right way. So, basically, you say, well, what's all this? You know, what is the Lord going to do about this? This is a terrible thing. So, verse 17, and the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he is gone down to possess it. So, we got to turn the page here. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. So this is what the Lord is saying to Elijah. Now you remember, Elijah got scared of Jezebel and ran off. He skedaddled. He was scared to death. But I think the Lord has shown him that he's in charge. God's in charge. We can have powerful enemies. But again, their power comes only to the extent what God will allow them to have. And he will never allow them to have total power over us. Anyway, he said, you killed a man and now you're going to take his stuff. You're a thief. A murdering thief. I don't know whether Ahab knew of the plot. I mean, he should have. I mean, he is the king instead of Jezebel. But Elijah is supposed to talk to him and tell him, thus saith the Lord. Now, you know what? That should be our answer to anything that people come up with. And people come up with some off-the-wall stuff sometimes. It's just unbelievable. I remember a long time ago, there used to be a radio show on after church on Sunday morning. And there was this, it was talking about, the guy was preaching. He said that a woman told him, you know, like the Bible says, never let your religion interfere with your social life. Now, I guarantee you the Bible does not say that. So we need to search the scriptures. This is where our wisdom comes from. Now, you can have a lot of knowledge, and if you don't know how to use it, it's useless. But if you have wisdom, it will support you. It will help you. And we get our wisdom from God's Word. So when people come up to us with these off-the-wall things, we can say, thus saith the Lord. And that, if that don't shut them up, you need to kick the dust off your feet and go someplace else. Hast thou killed and also taken possession? Did you kill him and then steal his property? And then he goes on saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, so shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. So he said, well, you killed him. You're going to die the same way. You're going to die a violent death, and the dogs are going to lick your blood out. So, of course, Elijah hasn't said that yet. He goes to find Ahab and in verse 20, and Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he says this to a prophet of God. We need to pick our enemies. You know, you don't want to make, if you have a problem with the pastor or just another member, you need to get it taken care of. You don't want a brother or sister in Christ to become an enemy. That is the worst possible thing. Well, maybe not the worst possible thing, but one of the worst possible things that can happen in your life. You're supposed to we're supposed to love one another. And it doesn't say just love one another when it's convenient. We are to love one another, period. Anyway, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And so Elijah says, and he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. In other words, the Lord told him where he was at because he was doing evil. And Elijah was going to come and bring the judgment of the Lord to Ahab. And he said, yeah, I found you. Didn't take much looking. All you got to do is look for the evil, and there you are. Verse 21, behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and will take away thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger, and made Israel to sin. So he tells him, this is why I'm come. He says, I will bring evil upon thee and take away thy posterity. Now, posterity means that's your generations that follow. So if they take away the posterity, that means your name ends there. There's not going to be any more. And he's going to take away all of his male children. And in the last part, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, there's not going to be any safe place. Wherever they are, that's where I'm going to go. I'm going to get them all. Verse 22, and will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. Told him exactly why. This is why I'm going to do it. This is what I'm going to do. And this is why. Now, the Lord's not going to come to you and not going to send a prophet. Well, he might send a prophet. I don't know. And so you're doing something wrong, and you need to straighten that out. But this year, this was a judgment. This was a judgment. It was going to happen. And and he told him why. Because thou hast provoked me to anger. And that goes on later. We're not going to get there today. Matter of fact, we're going to quit right now, just about. I'm going to read verse 23. But anyway, he also, watching, people watch you. And if they say, think something is all right, then they're going to do it too. Anyway, he caused Israel to sin. He had all these things, and the high places and the false gods and all these things like the idols. Anyway, he caused Israel to sin. And not only that, but verse 23, and of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. She was the one that caused this, and she's going to pay for it with her life too. So we're going to stop there. And next week we'll find out what happens. And it's kind of a surprise, considering how evil Ahab was. Anyway, we'll get to that next Sunday, Lord willing. And everybody stay put and listen to the pastor's message.